What's good, sis? Welcome to the Good Girl Gone Real podcast, where we're on a mission to unravel our own BS without losing ourselves in the process. I'm your host, Brittany, and I'm leading the charge for us to recognize, unlearn, and heal from much of what the world has convinced us we have to tolerate to be the right kind of person, the good kind of girl. The truth is, I've always known who I am, and I'll bet you have too. It's other people who told us that there was something wrong with the way that we are. So, if you're a person who operates authentically, is ready to step fully into your whole existence, live your whole truth, other people's opinions be damned, then this is the podcast for you. I'm here to drop some truth bombs, discuss topics that make you go, and give you the permission to fully do you. Sometimes I'll be flying solo, but I also know many a bad broad who lives her life out loud and isn't afraid to be who she is or say how she feels. Here's your invitation to step up to the plate. You're in great company.
Hey sis, this is Brittany, and this is another episode of the Good Girls Gone Real podcast. Today, I wanted to tell you that sometimes other people's crap, it has nothing to do with you, it has everything to do with them, and you have nothing to apologize for. I think we know this a lot of times, but we're socialized to apologize for our existence sometimes, it even feels like. The habit of unlearning, I'm sorry, no matter what you say or do, or if you take up space, or if you're moving around in a space, it takes severe intentionality and effort to unlearn this. I feel like as a woman in general, but especially as a good girl, you don't even realize that you are essentially apologizing for existing in a space. And that folds perfectly into this lesson because I was just thinking about all the times that y'all know I like to talk about pretzels in this podcast, or at least the pretzelification of ourselves. Pretzelify? Easier to say. Anyway, I talk about it often, and the thing is, it ends up serving a purpose for the people who socialize us that way. It is a greater societal thing, but also for a lot of us in our families. We as good girls are expected to be dependable, reliable, responsible, but I also talk about how we're not supposed to have any negative emotions, not ever feel slighted, always be polite and smiling, and show up and just do it, and not hold people accountable for their BS. And I'm here to tell you today, sis, that's no way to live, and it's unrealistic, and we never should have been taught that that's how we're supposed to handle the world, and there is just no pleasing people into valuing you, loving you, doing right by you, etc., etc. You could basically martyr yourself while laying prostrate in front of someone, and they could still criticize the way you do it, you know? And I was thinking about this because especially, y'all know that I like to talk about relationship to self influencing other relationships, and romantic relationships seem to be easier examples for people, although I think you can apply a lot of this to your familial relationships as well. So, say for instance, you make some decisions about moving for a significant other. You finally get to be together. It's a thing you want to do. It's not being forced upon you. This is just a example. You make the leap, make the choice, do the thing. You have good times, you have bad times. That's any relationship. And you find yourself having to repeatedly prove that you are, like I have said before as well, you're as good as you actually think. So you've already done the legwork of making the choice to move your life for this person. You've made the choice already to, maybe switch career or explore different options than you would otherwise explore if you were just thinking about yourself. You have probably compromise on where you'd like to live, literally, and maybe the type of place. Maybe giving them the reins to make some decisions that you know that it would be easier and you might have more experience doing. In the name of, what's the word I'm looking for? Equality is the wrong word, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Maybe compromise in your relationship. And you can still find yourself feeling like they don't truly believe you're there for the right reasons, which is a perspective I don't think that we hear often enough, especially when talking about romantic relationships, but this can happen in families too. And a lot of times that mistrust, distrust, disbelief of who you actually are, comes from other people's very deeply held trauma. And one of the things I want to give you permission to do is let go of other people's trauma, sis. That doesn't mean you don't care. It doesn't mean you don't think about it when you are, I don't know, for instance, reacting to something stupid that they say. And by stupid, I mean, you know, sometimes in the heat of arguments or discussions or whatever, people say things, you know, they don't actually mean. And I'm not saying that you let that go every time, because that's also a problem. But when you are, someone has an outburst that's unusual for them, say, for instance, and you know a certain thing about their lives, you know what subject matter you're talking about, maybe they're connected. Sometimes they're not, but maybe they are in this case. It's okay for you to once in a while be like, okay, I know that so-and-so was affected by X, so I'm not going to take it personally today. I wish they would try it again, but I'm not going to take it personally today, right? That's one thing, but it's quite another when, for instance, you are a self-sufficient, healing, growing, trying to do the best you can one day at a time, few hours at a time, like everyone else. And the person that you happen to be relating with, in this case, once again, works for romantic relationships or family ones, they just don't believe you. And in this case, it's not that they don't believe that you are as happy or friendly or joyful as you are, but this is a more insidious, kind of disbelief that I don't feel like is talked about enough. It is this disbelief that it's like you're too good to be true, and they're waiting for the other shoe to drop. I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, but I'm going to venture to say yes based on some conversations that I've had. But you have to know, sis, it's not your job to create the basis of that belief for someone, especially if you've already done so and you repeatedly do it, if that makes sense. Like, you are not the missing link. You are not the one who is inconsistent. You are consistently basically the same all the time, every day, taking care of yourself, trying to grow, trying to thrive, even if you're not in the growing, thriving space, maintaining the character of who you are on the daily. That's just not believable for some people. Some people have experienced so much trauma that the only thing that they know how to do, or the only space they feel safe in, is survival mode. It doesn't matter how hard you love them. It doesn't matter what you can provide for them. It doesn't even sometimes matter if you give them the space that they need to figure their stuff out, or for them to grow, or for them to try some things while you kind of back off a little bit and let them explore. Sometimes people try doing those things before they've done the unraveling work. And like I said earlier, I'm here to give you permission to separate yourself from that. It's not your job to heal someone's childhood trauma. It's not your job to try to be in the proving Olympics so that you've done so much for this person. You have a rap sheet that's 10 miles long, and you can at any point go, remember when I did this and this and this for you? These were all ways that I was proving I care, proving I love you, proving that I value that you need some time and space, proving that I'm giving you the ability to grow and evolve as a human while I grow and evolve as a human. And then us together as two growing, evolving humans try to figure out life together. Sometimes people don't know what to do with that. And I don't think there's enough discussion about that aspect of relationship. And the way it can show up in families, right, is especially as children age, as teenagers age, as relationships, for instance, change from children is what I was going to say, but I'll stick with it. As children under 18 to like an adult child relationship with parents. Sometimes parents don't know how to deal with that, y'all. And I know that it can be a little difficult during the teenage years as well, because I was not one of these kids who was like, I'm 18, I'm grown. But I know that a lot of folks, both from the things they consume and probably some influence of people around them, go that route. And I'm just going to go ahead and say, if you didn't have black parents and that was you, you should be glad, because it doesn't work out so well in black households when kids do that. But I digress. That can be a sticky sort of situation too, because, you know, there's a leaving, a changing, a big shift, and sometimes parents don't know how to deal with that either. So it can be a sticky time for parents and kids, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you are in your 30s or your late 20s, or you've got kids of your own and you still have parents that don't respect your boundaries, are trying to force you to do things the way they think is better than your way. You get to say no to that, sis. Like, you don't have to put up with that. And I know it's easier said than done, but the thing about it is you don't have to allow people who you are close with, who you're in relationships with, to dictate your life. And I know this is a air quotes revolutionary concept. You can totally disagree with people and still cohabitate with them. Or if you don't actually live with them, still be and share good and happy moments. Like, it doesn't have to be an either or situation. You're allowed to stand up for yourself. You're allowed to be vibing and chilling and growing and evolving. And as that person hopefully does the same, then y'all can vibe and chill and grow and evolve together. But if you take nothing else away from this, I want you to know that it is not your job to force that to happen. And you may come to a crossroads, to be honest, where if you are really evolving and moving through life differently because you're making changes and actually implementing them, and someone that you love is content to be stuck in the survival place, then there may be a time where you come to a fork in a road where you might have to grow, evolve, vibe, chill, change without them. And that is a harsh reality that I feel like is not discussed enough. I think there's this idea in all kinds of relationships, friendships, romantic, platonic, familial, that you just rock with people who have been with you, whether by blood or time and circumstance, or honestly shared trauma. A lot of bonds that people have in all kinds of relationships are the result of shared trauma. And if you can't move past or through the connecting moment, whatever it is, good or bad, together, and still say you have a relationship, then it might just be a relationship for a reason and not a season. Or I said that wrong. Actually, I think those both work. So for those of you who grew up even remotely churchy, there's a lot of metaphorical talk about walks and seasons and how things don't stay the same and stuff like that. I misspoke, but kind of did the right thing right there. So sometimes people come into your life for a singular connection. And I think a lot of times where we get into trouble is trying to hang on to people or please people or sometimes even motivate or fix or help people who we really only were meant to connect with one time or maybe a handful of times, you know? Obviously, you have to kind of feel your way through that and live through that to understand if it's that kind of connection or not. But sometimes even people who've been there for a long time in our lives who seem like they're people we can count on or constants in our lives, sometimes there comes a very distinct, very loud, you'll always know kind of point where even if they've been in your life your entire life or they've been there a long time, 10, 15 years, sometimes it's just the end. And I think that's hard for us to accept as people. I think we're not socialized to think about relationships like that. And sometimes it really is just the end. And it's not angry. It's not sad. It's no one's fault. You don't necessarily have to be upset with someone or anything like that. It's just the end. And then you are, or you should be, allowed to grieve that. And kind of package it up in a little bow that says, that allows you to either say farewell or dip back into those memories when you need to, but we just aren't taught to be able to do that. Instead, what we're taught is to manifest and prioritize and plan out and do everything in our power to sometimes save things that it's just time to let go, you know? Easier said than done, I know. But I think it's a reminder, and maybe a new concept if you've never thought of it that way, that we all need. Because many times in trying to save that relationship, that situation, or that person, you end up completely bulldozing, walking over, ignoring yourself. And you can't live your life in service to other people, sis. Like, not like this. I know a lot of us are service-oriented beings, and that's not what I mean. But what I mean is it's not service anymore when you have to completely lose yourself to prop someone else up. And if that's not a word that you've ever heard, I hope that if you take nothing else away from this, that's what you get. And here's the other thing that I'd like you to remember, sis. You don't have to feel guilty for someone else's inability to deal. Let me repeat that. You don't have to feel guilty for someone else's inability to deal. Now, what do I mean by that besides the literal words? I think that there is this inherent guilt that good girls end up being socialized to feel that pushes us, throws us, tosses us into not panic mode. That's possibly the wrong phrase, but oh my goodness, I need to fix this. I need to make this person feel better. I gotta do the thing, be the way, shield them from this bad feeling, or maybe not even a bad feeling, slightly uncomfortable, not so pleasant. Or even, can I find some sort of loophole here where I can insert myself and prop them up? And girl, that is tiring. Not only is it tiring, but it's not your job. It's not. And we don't mean that, or I don't mean that in a negative Nancy kind of way. I don't mean that in a be completely selfish and never think of anyone else way. I don't mean that in a condemning way, if that's the way that you've behaved in the past. So have I, girl. That's why we're here talking about it. But kind of bringing it back around to the beginning of this, no matter how much you love or care for someone, you can only, if it helps you feel less guilty, I guess I should say, it doesn't matter how caring, how many resources you provide for a person, how much time you're willing to give, how much love, literally, whether you really have the grit to love someone through very hard things, until that person is ready to acknowledge their kind of either how the gaps exist that they're not addressing or that that they may not be ready to accept your help, actually. That's a whole different episode for a different time. But there are a lot of people, myself included, I'm recovering in this all the time. I wasn't necessarily taught to not accept help, but help always came with strings. help always came with expectation of return. Help always came with a certain level of condemnation on the gratitude and gratitude scale, and almost never could I be grateful enough for the help that I received. So I just learned to do stuff on my own. That's a different podcast as well. And I'm glad to cover it if y'all are interested. But yeah, there are all kinds of factors, like all of those things I just mentioned, that come into play when you are trying to help people. You think you're just doing the good thing, being their support. If they just recognize how supportive you can be, then they'll value you. And that's not always the case, sis. So I'd like to leave you with the advice to do two things. One, if you are having stress from your relationships, no matter what kind they are, possibly sit down, and if you're the journaling kind, even if you're not the journaling kind, sometimes writing things out helps a lot. Evaluate, like, what the pain point is in that relationship. Is it a mutual pain point, or is it one of those things where you feel like you're doing everything you can and it's still not working out the way you think it should? And then from there, you're able to evaluate whether or not what you're doing or the way you're participating is healthful or helpful to both you and the other person in that relationship. And if you determine that it's not, or it's not working out and has repeatedly not been working out the way that you think it should, is that a relationship worth saving? Like, this is not me saying you have to go write out your life and decide who's on the chopping block, Marie Antoinette style. That's not what I mean. But sometimes when we actually write down the details of things, it gives us a different perspective from which to make a decision. And at the very least, it lets us sit in a different place of knowing. And as I'm unlearning a lot of things myself, a lot of the decisions you absolutely know, no pun intended, that you need to make, you can't deny them once you're in the place of knowing, once you've written it out, once you've sat with your intuition, once you've sat in silence and kind of figured it out. And it will just nag and nag and nag at you until you make the decision. And really, we don't talk about this enough either, but life is a bunch of decisions, babe. It's not everything that kind of happens is based on decision or lack of decision. And I don't think our actions, our relationships with each other are framed in that way enough. And this gives you some tools to kind of evaluate what kind of decisions you need to make or what kind of relationships you want to have. And then secondly, as I usually try to do, I just want you to know that only you have the permission to... Only you can give yourself the permission to act or not act a certain way in your relationships. And that means everything from how much time, effort, and willingness you're willing to put in, to being able to just, from that place of knowing, hopefully, know when it's just not right anymore and you might need to remove yourself. And if you decide that that's the thing you need to give yourself permission to do, it's okay. That doesn't mean it might not hurt. That doesn't mean it might not be a grievable thing. It doesn't mean that it has to be sad. It could be a relief sort of situation or a weight off your shoulders sort of situation. But you'll never know if, once again, you don't make that decision. So, once again, write, evaluate, decide, girl. And if writing is not your thing, then as probably silly as it sounds from that side of things, you can record a voice note to yourself working things out if that works out for you. Listen back to yourself. Listen to yourself tell the truth for yourself. And then use that to decide. You know, all of life is us giving permission for ourselves to decide. So I think that's a great place to end today. I hope that you are slaying your day. And if you are not and you need some motivation, hopefully this episode takes a little weight off your shoulders and adds a little ammunition for you to do so. And as per usual, no matter what you're doing today, I know you've got it. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks so much for making it to the end, sis. True blues like you are really hard to find. If I'm true to form, then I probably went here, there, and a little bit of everywhere in this episode, but hopefully you still managed to uncover some gems you can apply in your life. If you have a friend that you think would benefit from this episode, please share it with them. Like, send it to them right now. And wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts, any rating that you leave, any share that you do, boost its visibility so we can welcome new members to the girl gang and they can give themselves permission to live their lives on their own terms, other people's opinions be damned. So let's take one small step for good girls everywhere and one brave and giant leap for ourselves. Until next time. Thanks so much for making it to the end, sis. True blues like you are really hard to find. If I'm true to form, then I probably went here, there, and a little bit of everywhere in this episode, but hopefully you still managed to uncover some gems you can apply in your life. If you have a friend that you think would benefit from this episode, please share it with them. Like, send it to them right now. And wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts, any rating that you leave, any share that you do, boost its visibility so we can welcome new members to the girl gang and they can give themselves permission to live their lives on their own terms, other people's opinions be damned. So let's take one small step for good girls everywhere and one brave and giant leap for ourselves. Until next time.